Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and part two now of our four-part January series on working out with Janet Lee, deputy editor of Shape magazine and a board member of the American Council on Exercise. Today, what makes a good cardio workout and how much should you care? Hi, Janet. Thanks again for doing this series. Welcome back.
Thank you. Hi.
And we'll open up the phones at 212-433-WNYC for anything on this. And they used to call it aerobic exercise. Now we say cardio. Are they the same thing?
Yes, generally. Anything that gets your heart rate up, gets your breathing rate up, is considered kind of aerobic exercise. And there are certainly different zones of it, anywhere from, say, 50 to 90 or 95% or even 100% in some rare cases of your maximum heart rate. But we, at least in the magazine industry, we typically say aerobic exercise or cardio. It's very similar.
For the average person concerned about long-term health rather than exercising, say, for appearance, what's the latest science on how much cardio to do?
The latest science, and we've kind of bounced back and forth a little bit, but for health purposes, most experts are saying a minimum of 30 minutes most days of the week, so 5 to 6 days a week. Generally. And that's a kind of a bare bones minimum. So many studies have shown that, you know, a basic level of exercise at that point will give you health benefits.
Now, it's interesting that you put it that way, because I feel like I see contradictory recommendations from the medical establishment about how much you need. And that's on the one hand, that the old 20 minutes three times a week, which we used to hear, is now seen as insufficient. They say at least half an hour most days. Mm-hmm. As you said, half an hour, 5 days a week or so. But then they also say anything is better than nothing, because it's really that most sedentary 20% of the population that's at extreme risk of heart disease.
That's absolutely true. We never want to say to somebody, if you don't have 30 minutes, if you don't have an hour, you know what, stay on the couch. That's not going to help anybody, obviously. Exercise is really interesting in that the more you do it, the more beneficial it is, to a certain level, of course. So if you only have maybe 10 or 15 minutes or 20 minutes, do something, especially if you're sedentary. Don't feel like you should, you know, you're better off staying on the couch. You will still see health benefits from that. And there have been some really interesting studies talking about doing shorter bouts throughout the day and how you can get very similar health benefits and, in some cases, very similar weight loss benefits. And that's generally where we're seeing more institutions, more experts. When you see the 60 to 90 minutes of exercise on most days, that's generally where we start talking about to see weight loss.
Now, you are a journalist and are you a trainer?
I'm a certified trainer, yes. College of Sports Medicine.
Not an MD.
No.
But what does cardiovascular exercise actually do physiologically?
You know, it really is simple. It strengthens your heart. When you do cardio exercise or aerobic exercise over a period of time, your heart gets more efficient.
Because it's a muscle.
It's a muscle, exactly like any other muscle in your body. So you do your exercise and the heart gets bigger. I think it gets about 40% bigger in a trained individual. You put out your cardiac output. You're putting out more blood, more oxygen to your body. Your stroke volume is increasing. So even after you get done exercising over time, your resting heart rate will lower. So basically, even just sitting here talking, if we're trained, our hearts are working so much less to do that much more work. So our hearts are fitter.
The heart actually gets bigger. I thought enlarged heart was supposed to be some kind of a negative condition.
That's usually due to some other types of conditions. But no, we'll actually see, I believe it's in the left ventricle, the walls of the left ventricle will get thicker. And that's the ventricle in charge of pushing the blood out to the rest of your body. So it's like you can envision the heart and that left ventricle just throwing it out almost like a pitcher with every stroke.
Let's take a phone call. Greg in Union Square, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. I wanted to recommend dance for a cardio workout because it's fun and you can mix things up.
Well, that's a great suggestion. Do you also recommend dance for a cardio workout?
I recommend anything that gets your heart rate up and your breathing up, really. It's so hard for us to say you should run, you should bike, you should swim. Those are all great exercises. Dance is a perfectly good way to increase your fitness level to a certain degree and certainly to increase your health. It depends on what your goals are. If you want to train to do a marathon, you need to do less dancing, more running, obviously. But dance was a great way to work activity, and especially pleasurable activity, you know, something that you might enjoy doing more than running on a treadmill or sitting on a stationary bike in your day-to-day life.
But I've read that not all cardio exercise has the same value. For example, running burns many more calories than biking, the way most people do those two things.
Right. Generally, if you go out and you run for an hour at a certain pace, you're going to burn maybe 600 calories or so. Biking, depending on how vigorously you do it, you're going to be more probably the 400 to 500 calorie range, depending on your size. But again, it comes down to what do you enjoy doing? If you love to bike and you'll get out there and do it for an hour or maybe two, even on a weekend, and you hate to run, and maybe you'll do it for 20 minutes before you give up and go have a beer, you're much better off doing the biking if that's what gets you out there and exercising.
Jackson in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jackson.
How you doing? As a year-round bike commuter, it's about 10 miles each way, about 40 minutes on the bike, biking in. I've been doing it for years. Now, I hear that you lose, I mean, the benefits of the cardio that you get from the bike or the exercise is not the same as when you first started, you know, years into it, because your body gets used to it. I mean, would it be better for me to jump on the subway? I mean, I guess it's not, but how much of a depreciation in value am I getting from my hour and a half commute every day?
Right. In general, it's not a huge depreciation. I mean, it's so much better for you to be doing that biking every single day than it is for you to be going on the subway. Now, from a fitness level, if you want to continue to get fitter, you need to increase the intensity on a regular basis. So maybe a few times a week you hit the gym, or you stay at home and you put your bike on one of those wind trainers and you really get the intensity up the way you may not be able to do on your commute. But in general, yes, your body does get used to any kind of activity, whether it's cardio or strength, and you have to change up the intensity and the stimulus every once in a while to keep getting those huge benefits. But in general, you're keeping yourself very healthy by biking, you know, back and forth to work every day.
Jackson, thanks for your call. Keep on cycling. My guest, Janet Lee, deputy editor of Shape Magazine and a board member of the American Council on Exercise. She's joining us every Thursday this month in a January series on working out. Today we're talking about cardio exercise at 212-433-WNYC. If you have a question or a comment, 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org. What about interval training? Now, I read an article advocating interval training for health and stress relief. That would be shorter, more intense bursts of exercise rather than slower but sustained. Do you know about interval training?
Interval training is hugely popular and a fantastic way to boost your endurance. And also in those times when, say, you don't have an hour to work out or you don't have 30 minutes. If I only have 20 minutes, I can go to the gym, I warm up, I start doing intervals where I'll go really hard, really intensely, and that might be either going faster, going at a higher incline, or a little bit of both. And you do that for anywhere from 20 seconds to 2 minutes, and then you recover for a period, maybe 20 seconds to 2 minutes. You can vary it up many different ways. And you do that several times, and your heart loves that kind of thing. Your body adapts to that.
Why? More than the sustained but maybe relatively slower cardio exercise?
The vigorous intensity of the exercise, more and more experts are recommending. Even the American College of Sports Medicine actually this year added for the first time ever doing 20-minute bouts of vigorous exercise 3 times a week as an extra stimulus for your heart. Again, it burns a lot more calories in a given time period, which is huge for weight loss too. But also, I think people in general tend not to exercise as vigorously as they should. They tend to get on the bike, they're reading their magazine, they barely get moving. So it's really important. Again, it's a dose response. The more intensely you do it, the better your heart likes it.
But
to a certain degree.
Is that contradictory? Right, and you have to know your level and see a doctor before you start any regimen of exercise to know, especially if you're going to work out very intensely. But is that contradictory to the recommendations that we were discussing before, where they say you need to do at least 30 minutes most days of the week? And now they come out and they also say, well, if you do 20 minutes of really vigorous exercise 3 times a week, I mean, do they contradict each other?
No, I don't think they do at all. I think they dovetail, because you can think of it as, say, the standard recommendation would be 30 minutes 5 days a week. That's 150 minutes right there. Then you have your 20 minutes 3 days a week. That's 60 minutes.
That's within.
Right. That's the way I interpret it, as within. Now, you could you know, make 60 minutes of those 150 minutes very vigorous. You could tack those on. So I think it's very important to spend a chunk of your time, maybe a third of your time every week in your exercising at that higher intensity level. And that could be anywhere from 80 to 90%, depending on how fit you are.
Of your, what's considered your maximum heart rate.
Right.
Annie in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Annie.
Hi. I have a question. I'm a new mother, and I have maybe 3 days, maybe 4 days a week to do some kind of exercise. I was a runner prior to getting pregnant and having my daughter, so I do run, but I feel like I should be doing something else because I've, you know, I used to be able to go to the gym and do spin and do all these weights, and I just don't have those, I have such limitations now. So what would you suggest how best to use those 3 to 4 days a week? And I get maybe 30, 45 minutes in those times.
I think it's, if you love running, I think it's great to try to continue with that. Maybe add in some interval training to those runs, say twice a week. On those other days, if you have any other kind of access to cardio exercise, maybe if you have a bike that you can do outdoors, maybe you can go for a power walk and you can add intervals with that too. That would be great, just to vary it up so you're not running all those days. And then make sure you add in your strength exercise to that. If on those days, maybe when you have 45 minutes, maybe do 20 to 25 minutes of intervals, and then you do the other 20 to 25 minutes of strength training, because you want to try to get that in a couple days a week. So if you lose that muscle mass, then you're basically shooting yourself in the foot. Your metabolism's going to slow down, and you're going to continue to lose that as you get older. Does that help?
Annie, good luck. And Joshua in Greenwich, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joshua.
Hi, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask if there was any beneficial cardio you can do in your apartment or in your home.
You know, it can get it tough when you're at home, but there are tons of exercise DVDs out there that basically you need maybe just an aerobic step for or something like that. If you happen to have high ceilings, maybe you have a driveway or something you could do it in, or inside you have vaulted ceilings or something, if you can jump rope, that's a great exercise as well. If you have a staircase,
just make sure you alert the downstairs neighbors.
Exactly, and your floors are sturdy. If you have stairs, you can walk up and down stairs. It can tend to get a little boring inside, but there are certainly things you can do. And my biggest recommendation is layer up, especially if it's cold outside, and get outside and walk. Get outside and run, or jog, do something to, you know, the temperature, it maybe will bother you for 5 minutes, but then you'll get used to it if you're dressed correctly.
What about Pilates as an indoor cardio thing? It seems to me that there are cable channels devoted to Pilates all day.
Right, right. I mean, some people say you can do Pilates in an aerobic fashion. Certainly, if you do the moves quickly and back to back with no rest, you can get your heart rate up. I tend to think of Pilates more as a strengthening workout than a cardiovascular exercise.
And what about yoga? Some people say, you know, yoga ain't what it used to be. It isn't just stretching anymore. You get a real workout.
In some classes, you can get a good workout. You can get your heart rate up. For most people, they don't get that benefit, though. And again, I think you're better off looking at yoga as a fantastic way to stretch, a really good way to strengthen your body. Maybe you get a little cardio benefit from it, but don't think of it as a cardiovascular workout in general.
Lou,
and again, it's better than doing nothing at all.
Janet Lee, deputy editor of Shape Magazine and a board member of the American Council on Exercise. My guest every Thursday this month with our series on working out. And Lou in Patterson, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lou.
Hi, thanks. You know, I got a heart rate monitor for Christmas this year, and I'm trying to incorporate it in my exercise program, but I'm finding that the formula for maximum heart rate doesn't seem to work for me. I'm about 20 beats above it. If I look at, if I exercise hard and I look at the heart rate on my my display, comes out to be about 20 beats higher than what the formula tells me to be.
Which I would guess either means that you need to see your doctor or that the heart rate monitor isn't so accurate. And we do have another post on our website that asks, is a commercially available heart rate monitor an accurate measure of effort? We know, for example, that some of these little blood pressure monitors that you put on your wrist or whatever really don't measure very well.
The best way to get a really true measure of your maximum heart rate is to go to a doctor or a hospital that's set up to do these tests, and they can tell you. Heart rate monitors, I think, are really excellent tools. The interesting thing is the standard 220 minus your age for your max heart rate, that formula is not very accurate at all. I mean, that will get an average group of people kind of in the middle.
It's just too general.
Yeah, it leaves some people out. And there are different formulas out there that people have come up with to try to get a little closer. And you might be better off going onto the web to find some of those different formulas. But I think some heart rate monitors are set up where you can kind of test yourself to find out where you are. You don't actually have to put the formula in there. But if you don't fit that formula, don't worry.
What do you think of the ones on the cardio machines in the gyms? I noticed that treadmills and bicycles and ellipticals have, for one thing, different kinds of programs that you choose. They have fancy names sometimes, like, mm-hmm. Mountain Peak Climber, that are different kinds of interval training mm-hmm. for the most part. And then some of them, the higher end ones, also have heart rate monitors. Are they accurate?
I think in general the heart rate monitors are accurate because they're doing just what a normal heart rate monitor would.
They're just reading off your pulse.
Right, they're reading off your pulse. Where they aren't accurate is if you're looking at the calorie burn and things like that. And that's where you kind of have to take it a little bit with a grain of salt.
And those machines also reflect how many calories you burn. There was an article in the Times just recently that said, take with a grain of salt
exactly
how many calories that machine actually says you've burned. How do we know if they're accurate?
I think the more questions the machine asks you when you're going through the setup stage, the more accurate they are. If it's asking you about your weight, that's fantastic because that's one of the things that they're going to use to gauge how many calories you're burning. That's really what it comes down to. A 90-pound person isn't going to burn nearly as many calories as a 180-pound or 150-pound person would. It all depends on how much muscle you have and things like that. So they're ballpark figures, but don't, get off the elliptical after 30 minutes and think, woohoo, I just burned 500 calories, because chances are you probably didn't.
Now, there is an alternative hypothesis to all of this, and I want to make sure that we get it out. And it is from Mr. Cam in New Rochelle in this case. Hi, Mr. Cam.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
Yes,
what do you think?
The alternative hypothesis. The Swedes don't exercise. They have the longest life expectancy of any developed country. We have the shortest. We exercise all the time. There are no studies that connect exercise with longevity. And so I don't think there's anything to this. Secondly, for older people, it's dangerous. I got a heart attack at age 52. I was a runner. I had an athlete's heart, which is this kind of positive enlarged heart. Didn't make any difference. Jim Fix also died at age 50. He died at age 52 while running.
I'm going to leave it there because our time is short, but you've no doubt heard this.
Yes, and you can't always compare and say that, well, I was fit, but I still had a heart attack, because other factors do contribute to you having heart disease or catastrophic heart failure. There have been tons of studies linking exercise to health, linking exercise to longevity, especially as you get older. And I think it would be a really bad message to indicate that it's really hurting you.
How about the comparison with Sweden?
I don't know what they do in Sweden. I think a lot of different countries approach exercise in a different way. Yeah, they're not all going to the gym, but they're getting daily exercise. They're getting daily activity in what they do naturally. They're not sitting on the couch watching television.
And in our last minute, here's another written comment that says, okay, we all started running, race, walking, biking 20 years ago because it was good for us. Now, as baby boomers in middle age, we've all developed plantar fasciitis, is that what you call it? Heel spurs, knee problems, hip problems, back problems, things our parents never heard of. So there's a downside. Even Roger Bannister, the man who first ran the 4-minute mile, has had two hip replacements.
There can be a downside to that, and a lot of it comes into strength training, preparing your body to exercise, which for the first probably 10, 20 years of this, we didn't really care about. Go out, go hard, don't worry about anything else. But if you approach it correctly and you do what some experts call prehab, you can try to prevent some of these exercise-related injuries and chronic conditions.
So for the baby boomers in the audience, let's say you're 55 years old, something like that, how much do you need to stretch before you run or bike?
Stretching is not proven to do you that much good at all in
certain,
a lot of circumstances. It feels really good, and I think there is a benefit to that, especially in the workplace environment. But more strength training, preparing your body for the activities you want to do so your muscles are strong
strength
enough
training.
To control your joints as you're moving. That's huge.
We'll leave it there, except for this email to the new mom, Annie in New Jersey, who called in. And this says, use your baby to help you exercise. Check out Stroller Size in Central Park. Janet Lee, deputy editor of Shape Magazine, board member of the American Council on Exercise, will be back next Thursday as we continue our January series on working out. Thanks so much, Janet.
Thank you.